ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सब बोलिए नीलाचल निवासाय नित्याय परमात्मने बलभद्र सुभद्राभ्यं जगन्नाथाय ते नमः हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Jagannath willing, there will be an initiation ceremony soon. This light can be turned off now, preferably. There'll be an initiation ceremony taking place this morning. Sri Madhav Maharaj has kindly consented to speak on the topics that Srila Prabhupada either personally spoke on or would have some of his leading disciples speak on prior to initiation as part of the ceremony. Those topics are the meaning of initiation and a discussion, not merely a recitation, but a discussion, explanation of the 10 offenses against the holy names, with the idea that, or with the understanding that we promise to chant a minimum 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily, but we are supposed to aspire for chanting without offense. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhajane Madhye Srishta Navavidha Bhakti Krishna Prem Krishna Dite Dhare Mahashakti. Out of all the processes of devotional service, he had just spoken on those that are considered the 64 most important, he says that the 9 methods are the best. That means Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and the rest. And they all can give Krishna Prem, love of Krishna, and Krishna Himself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, Taramadhe Sarva Shrestha Nama Sankirta. Among them all, the very best is the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Niraparadhe Nama Loile Pai Premadham. If one chants without offense, then one receives the treasure of love of Krishna. So Madhav Maharaj will speak about that, about these topics, Jagannath willing. Anything that happens in the future, we have to remember, inshallah, if God desires. It's the same thing. It means the same thing. It's a very good saying. We should always remember, everything is in the hands of Jagannath. We are not the doers. Man proposes, God disposes. He doesn't always dispose in the way that we propose. That is his dispensation. So a few points. I wish to speak to those devotees who are going to take initiation today, and those who have already received initiation from myself can also bear these points in mind. First thing is that I have given some additional standards over those that Srila Prabhupada gave. Srila Prabhupada, his standard for initiation was that one should chant 16 rounds daily of the Hare Krishna mantra and follow four regulated principles. So that I also have, but I've also stipulated that those who will take initiation from me, they should, prior to taking initiation, they should read Srila Prabhupada's books, minimally Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Nectar of Devotion, and the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this isn't, this is not something that Srila Prabhupada gave, but I'm asking candidates for initiation to do so that they can have a better understanding of why they are doing what they are doing, because we see that quite a few who take in initiation, they vow to follow these principles, but after some time they desist from doing so. So the idea of asking people to read these books before taking initiation is so that they have a better idea of why they are doing what they are doing. And that's also supposed to awaken a taste for reading Srila Prabhupada's books. It is, or could be considered, an austerity. Once Srila Prabhupada said this in a class in Vrindavan, he encouraged the devotees to read his books many hours a day. Of course, Srila Prabhupada would do that. He would do that, and then he would say, all right, and apart from reading my books 6 hours a day, then he would give them another 48 hours of service to do every day. That was typical approach of Srila Prabhupada. Tejas Prabhu several times told me that Srila Prabhupada overloaded him with so much service, gave him so many things to do, that at one time he tearfully said to Srila Prabhupada that, I'm overloaded. And Srila Prabhupada wrote back to him and said that, well, you don't have to worry about that. The main thing is you should have some service and you should be happy and Krishna conscious and no anxiety. He said, it's not exactly the service that you do that matters, but you should be happy in Krishna consciousness. Then shortly after that, Srila Prabhupada wrote him another letter and gave him double service to do. So that was typical of Srila Prabhupada. But anyway, in this one lecture, Srila Prabhupada, he encouraged, well, you can read all the... When I joined the movement, I was told by devotees that Srila Prabhupada said that if you want, you can read all day. If you want, you can have no other service, just reading all day. But also no eating and no sleeping. If you're really serious about reading. So, in this one lecture he said, he said, this is an austerity to read, to go on reading and reading and reading. So it may seem like an austerity for people who are used to read nothing, or the newspaper only, or cartoons. in Japan, that highly advanced society, you'll see cartoon books are very popular. That's all they read. They don't read anything. The average Japanese, you and them, just cartoon books. They buy it, yeah, thick ones like this. They'll sit on the train, read it, and then they just throw it away. And no one will pick up a throwaway one because they're too, they have to buy a new one. So to read Srila Prabhupada's books, it might seem like an austerity, because what is an austerity? Austerity means to do something that you don't like to do. What we like to do is something sense gratificatory. But Srila Prabhupada's books, there's no sense gratification in them. So it's automatically an austerity. There's nothing for pleasing the senses. Actually, it's all for pleasing the senses, but that can be appreciated by persons of purified senses. So if we aspire for happiness in this material world, reading Srila Prabhupada's books is not conducive to that. Of course, it is very relishable, and that's why I ask devotees, another reason why I ask them to read these books is because if the idea is that if you read two cantos of Bhagavatam, then automatically you'll want to go on and read more. That should be the natural result. Although I know at least one case of a devotee who did his stipulated reading, got initiated, and didn't read anything else after that. But that's not the idea. The idea is should go on reading. Don't stop. Oh, another thing is don't cheat also. Don't go come for initiation if you haven't done your reading. You should do that. If someone can't read, they're illiterate. All right. Then don't read. Just chant and follow the principles and do plenty of service. But by the grace of modern education, most people nowadays, at least the younger generation in India, can read. And most people, he has to do something. He has to come and adjust something, because it's his job. Now most people in Europe and at least North America, they can read. Not everyone. There are people who go through the whole school system 10 years or more in America and England, and at the end of it they can't read. Some people are congenitally stupid. Actually, most people are. Actually, everyone is. Dvandva mohena, iccha dvesha samutena, dvandva mohena. Dvandva mohena is a sophisticated way of saying that people are stupid. But most people can read, so read Prabhupada's books. Become purified. So don't cheat. Don't come for initiation if you haven't read all these things. And after initiation, don't think, okay, job done. Got what I wanted. No need to read anymore. Go on reading. Even if you have 48 hours of service every hour, still you have to find time to read these books. Once, among a small group of devotees, I believe that was in Jamnagar last year. Someone asked me after the class about initiation, and I told them These are my standards. And a devotee who was present there, who was initiated for many years, not by myself, he said, well, it's too strict. No one will come if you're so strict. Because apart from that, I also tell devotees that not to watch TV, to take as foodstuff only foods offered to Krishna, that are offerable to Krishna, which does not include buying a loaf of bread from the shop and offering it. You can offer it to Krishna, but according to Krishna, he doesn't eat such things. Krishna says, Patrang pushpang palang tauyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti upaharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. This word prayatatmanaha, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains that this means a devotee who is purified by following the rules and regulations of devotional service. Apart from that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us, Bishoyer onno khaile malin hoiman. That by eating food grains of a materialistic person, the mind becomes dirty. So it's a standard principle of Vaishnavism, not something that I invented, to take as foodstuff only food that is properly offered to Krishna. So, and no chocolate and a few things like this. I explained in, and I was protested to that, well, if you make so many rules, if you're so strict, that no one will come. I responded that there are thousands of persons who took initiation and then reneged. They didn't follow. Within the history of ISKCON, there must be by now several thousand who took initiation, promised, and they're not following now. So my outlook is better to be a... There are two approaches. You can say one is the mercy approach, by which, very merciful, in which you allow many people to take initiation, which practically invites a high level... like many people take initiation without much stricture. That any people come, all right, you're following a little bit, okay, all right. 16 rounds, 4 regs, promise to follow your life, all your life, okay, take initiation. So that can be considered very merciful in as much as it gives many people a chance. However, my outlook is that among the two defining roles of a guru, that means to give diksha and to give shiksha, which are, of course, interrelated. There's no meaning to diksha without shiksha. It's not just giving some mantras, but one is supposed to explain the process of devotional service. So out of these two functions, the shiksha is most important. It's not that simply by sitting in a ceremony, one can go back to Godhead. One has to take instruction and follow that, and that is an ongoing process. It shouldn't begin with the initiation ceremony. It should have been going on before that, and it doesn't end with it either. So my outlook is to be somewhat strict, and those who are serious, they will take the challenge to come to a level by which they can be benefited. Because actually, if one is watching TV regularly, all nonsense things with Gornitai stuck in a corner, who you sometimes remember as you're absorbed in watching the TV, or if you think that eating here and there, anywhere, this, that, as long as it's vegetarian, we hope, then that's all okay, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very merciful. If one has such an attitude, one will not advance properly in Krishna consciousness. And the very attitude is somewhat offensive, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certainly is merciful, but his mercy is, it's not some shaktipad by which he just touches you and you become electrified. And then, of course, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present, there were cases like that. But the standard process he gave was to, it's process by which one can become purified. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu jibe daya kare shaparshada shriya dham saha avatare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being very merciful upon the conditioned souls, descended to this plane along with his associates and his holy dham of Navadip. Atantar durlabha prema karibare dan shikhai sharanagati bhakatera pran. That extremely rare love of Krishna prema, for the sake of giving that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught the process of Sharanagati, the process of taking shelter of Krishna. This process is the very life of the devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a teacher. All these points in the Nectar of Devotion, these rules and regulations, they come from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they are conveyed in disciplic succession. So my outlook is that if we are strict, then those who are serious, they will take up the challenge. And if I say that, well, you can be initiated and you don't have to follow so many things so very strictly, it's okay if you watch TV, it's okay if you eat here and there, then I would be cheating you, because you wouldn't be benefited. If I tell people what we in our conditioned state don't like to hear, that we should give up sense gratification, they may not like it, but they will be benefited if they accept it. Another kind of cheating is to present sense gratification as if it were Krishna consciousness. There are many varieties of this. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrara Thakur especially, he stood against so much cheating in the name of devotional service. There are many examples given in that book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. For instance, how in the name of singing about Krishna, there was a regular bringing together of lusty men with lusty women. Oh, there goes a monkey. There goes the monkey. It's all right. He's not doing us any harm. No need to. I should not have diverted you. So, do we? Well, there was a, particularly there was one festival held every year, Dhulat, in Navadvip, which in the, it was supposed to, Vasantagan, spring songs, in the name of singing songs about Krishna, young, well, not necessarily young, men and women would come together and, well, you can understand what happened. Not very spiritual. So do we see signs of this in our ISKCON today? Does anyone ever go to a kirtan and see the young girls dancing in such a nice way and the young men with their big tattooed muscular arms pounding away on the mridanga? Are there overtones of sexual attraction there? Well, I've heard it said by others. I'm not blaming anyone myself. I'll pass the blame on to others for blaming. But if that attitude of sense gratification is there, we can understand this is not Krishna consciousness. This is not for the pleasure of Krishna. Even if superficially the chanting of the holy names is going on. So even devotional service can be redesigned as a formula for sense gratification. And there are many, many nuances of this, and practically unlimited nuances are possible. So, if I say, or that you can have sense gratification and Krishna consciousness, then you won't be benefited. Or even if I fail to say that you won't be benefited by sense gratification, you can't have both. Even if I don't promote that you can have sense gratification and Krishna consciousness together, but I overlook or turn a blind eye to, as they say, attempts to indulge one's own egoism or sense gratificatory propensities in the name of devotional service. Even if I fail to speak about it, then I shouldn't be sitting up here. Then that would be my sense gratification, to enjoy a big seat and being lauded by others. But it's my job, my service, to speak that which will not be pleasing to persons who don't want to be Krishna conscious, or who are in the illusion that one can be Krishna conscious and at the same time enjoy sense gratification, either grossly or subtly. So, it may be difficult to follow all these things. Definitely it's difficult to follow. It's a struggle. It's not easy to become free from the desire for sense gratification. But on the other hand, if we don't become free from the desire for sense gratification, then we're never going to become Krishna conscious in the full sense. One will remain shackled within this material world. So those who follow what I say, and when I say follow what I say, it is of course what Srila Prabhupada said and what the previous acharya said. It's not something that I invented or I made up at some point in time. Those who follow all these things, they will have a better chance to be Krishna conscious, which is the whole point of this initiation after all. The idea is that one should practice Krishna consciousness, become absorbed in Krishna and go to Krishna. That's the whole point. So that requires following the process of Krishna consciousness. So if I ask you to follow that very carefully and very strictly, those who want to be Krishna conscious, they should enthusiastically accept that. Although it's said that less people will come if we're more strict, actually, we might have thought that it would be round the other way. That if people were actually serious to be Krishna conscious, if people want to be Krishna conscious, they want to be initiated, then you'd think they'd want to follow in a way that will help them the best. Why should devotees be more eager to take initiation in a situation where there's nothing but the minimum to follow? If their aim is to become Krishna conscious, then we would think that we would want to do whatever is required to advance in Krishna consciousness. So many times devotees come up to me and say, bless me, bless me, bless me. No one ever comes up to me and says, teach me how I can get free from all my material desires, how I can surrender, just bless me, bless me, bless me. As if it's, well, it's not that no one ever comes up, but there seems to be this idea that, well, just by blessing, that's all. Then you become Krishna, without any effort on your own part. So blessings are required, but one should seek blessings for pure devotion if one is really trying one's utmost to be Krishna conscious, to take a lackadaisical approach and then ask for a blessing to become a pure devotee is simply hypocrisy. It means you're asking for something that you don't really want anyway, or you want it cheap. You want to cheat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and cheat the acharyas and take pure devotion on your own terms, your own sense gratificatory terms. So we should know this. And of course, if we do read Srila Prabhupada's books and hear his lectures, then we will know this. It's an austerity to read Srila Prabhupada's books because they pound on us, they hammer at us. They're mercilessly pounding on our desires for sense gratification, but that is not merciless, that is merciful. If someone beats you with a stick, you would think that this is merciless. On and on and on, beating, beating, beating. But if we read Srila Prabhupada's books, it's like beating, beating, beating our false egos over and over again. But that is merciful beating. Just like in Europe, it used to be like this, that if someone was crazy, the common cure was to be beaten. And beaten and beaten and beaten and beaten. With the idea that he's haunted by a ghost, so if you go on beating, the ghost will go out. And sometimes people gave up the ghost, they died. So they instead of driving away the ghost, they just made one more ghost. But Pishachi Paile Jaina Matti Channa Hoy Maya Grasta Jibe Hoy Shei Bhavudoy. We are as if ghostly haunted. This condition of being in Maya, it is a condition of being ghostly haunted. So we require that beating from Srila Prabhupada. We read his books, we hear his lectures. It's Srila Prabhupada's not just smiling at people and being nice with them. He's sometimes smiling, sometimes chastising, always teaching. And in this way, he is being nice with others. So if we follow the process of Krishna consciousness very strictly, we might find it more difficult. Certainly we will. In many ways, it's easy to capitulate to Maya. But on the other hand, if we do practice very carefully, then there is a better chance to remember Krishna at the time of death. That is the whole point. At least that's the first point. There's actually much more to consider. But the first consideration, in our beginning life of Krishna consciousness, we have to think that how can I perfect this life and remember Krishna at the time of death. So we may say that we may not have many followers, but actually we don't want many followers. As you may remember, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam na janam. Of course, we want many people to take to Krishna consciousness, but we want that people will be actually Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada stated one time, we may not have many followers. We don't care for that. We don't want these nonsense followers. Many thousands. What will they do? But if we can turn one man into Krishna consciousness perfectly, he can do tremendous work in the world. That is our principle. We don't want nonsense. Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Ekas chandrastamohanti king natara sahasrashaha. One moon is sufficient to dissipate the darkness, which cannot be done even by thousands of stars. So, commitment, that's what we're looking for. Initiation means commitment. One commits oneself to Krishna, to Guru and Krishna. We often, or generally we think that initiation means that we vow to follow four regulated principles and to chant 16 rounds. But that is not the essence of initiation. The essence of initiation is Dikkakale bhakta kare atta samarpan. The initiation, essence of initiation, is to surrender one's life to Krishna, to take to the process of sharanagati, to the process of surrendering to Krishna. So, if you want to eat chocolate and other kami food, and watch TV, and maybe have some Krishna conscious Bollywood dancing, but it's not Krishna conscious. And whatever wonderful things have been invented and are yet to be invented in the name of Krishna consciousness, then please don't come to me for initiation. There are many much more merciful gurus than me within ISKCON, and you can please go there. You'll be happy, and I'll be happy also. If you are interested in these things, then yeah, just don't come. And if you're still interested in these things and you're initiated by me, then you're quite welcome to find a Shiksha Guru in ISKCON who can instruct you according to what you like. The disciple is supposed to follow what the Guru says, not that the Guru has to adjust himself to the disciple. Otherwise he'll lose the disciple. It means he never had a disciple. If the Guru finds he has to adjust himself to the disciple, it means the disciple is not a disciple. The disciple is the Guru. So please follow, understand all these points. You'll understand all these points if you read Srila Prabhupada's books, hear his lectures, and hear what I have to say also. I speak many things that are relevant to life within ISKCON today. There are many different approaches to living within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Not all of them warrant the exalted description of Krishna consciousness, although all of them go on under the rubric or the in the name of Krishna consciousness. So please hear what to be a disciple you should. The first thing is to hear, one has to hear what the Guru has to say. Those who are being initiated, they will almost all be under the guidance of some of my leading disciples or more senior disciples. That, of course, is required, necessary. It's a standard thing that gurus with many disciples do, including Srila Prabhupada. They delegate the day-to-day instruction of their junior disciples to some leading disciples. But please remember that you are my disciple in Srila Prabhupada's service. That I'm not just giving you initiation as some kind of formality, but you should understand what I have to teach you, what I expect of you. The various Hare Krishna, various leading disciples, they may preach, bring you into Krishna consciousness. They are supposed to do so on my behalf, not on their own behalf. Not that my name is floated, but practically they're building up their own community, their own little empire. I don't want to be just a rubber stamp guru for someone else's ambitions. So please hear what I have to say. Try to understand it. Follow it. And be happy in Krishna consciousness. All this sounds very heavy, no doubt, what I've said today. It is heavy. Krishna consciousness is very grave commitment. At the same time, it's very joyful, as I hope we're all experiencing here in this festival. Festival means should be joyful. Krishna conscious life is joyful. It's not that we come together just once a year or twice a year and have dancing and chanting. Daily we're going on with dancing and chanting. So it's a joyful process, but the joy is completely different to that of mundane happiness. It's not the happiness that comes from the mind, intelligence or senses. This is the happiness of the soul in the service of Krishna. So this commitment to serve Krishna, as much as that exists, that much the actual happiness of Krishna consciousness can or will manifest. Because Krishna consciousness is a joyful process. We may think that, well, if I'm happy, that's Krishna consciousness. But the actual fact is that if Krishna is happy, then we can be happy. He is the center. Krishna is the center. All service is meant for Him. We are meant for service. This is Sanatan Dharma. Sanatan Dharma means our eternal occupation. So, Jiva Swarup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. We are all eternally connected with Krishna, but because we've forgotten that, Manashashtani Indriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. We are struggling with the senses and the mind in this material world. So the whole process is to surrender to Krishna, chant His holy names. In Kali Yuga, Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nascheva, Nascheva, Nascheva Gatiranyata. This is the process. Chanting the holy names of Krishna. Of course, here in Puri, everything is complete with Mahaprasad. Here, everything. People, marriage ceremony is complete. What's the actual, in general Hindu culture, when there's the Saptapadi, seven times circumambulating, tying the knot, that's considered, that's the marriage, that's it, finished. Here, in Puri, when everyone sits down together and takes Mahaprasad, that's it. No other rituals needed. Everything, Shraddh, Mahaprasad, everything Mahaprasad, the Jagannath's mercy. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here in Puri. He distributed Mahaprasad, but there was Kirtan also. Last night we had, by Chittahari Prabhu's enthusiasm, we had 2 hours non-stop Kirtan, and Chittahari Prabhu sometimes needs a little disciplining. If we hadn't told him that actually there's other things to do in the program also, he'd still be going on chanting now. He wouldn't have stopped. Everyone else would have collapsed, but he would still be chanting. There are descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would go on and on and on with Kirtan. He would start. He would go for Mangal Arati and come out of the temple and start Kirtan. And he would just go on and on and on and on and on and on, chanting, 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 in full bliss. And all the devotees would just be collapsed. He would go until midday. That means 7 hours continuous chanting. And then the devotees would devise it, because they didn't want to just jerk him out of his ecstasy. So they make a plan. Okay, you stop chanting, you stop chanting. So gradually, Instead of everyone chanting, there's only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he's going on, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. And no one else is chanting. What happened? And then Swarup Damodar would tell him, well, actually, it's already midday, and everyone has to take their bath and take prasadam. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, oh, okay, all right. Then again in the evening, 4 hours. Last night we had 2 hours kirtan. We thought that's a very long kirtan, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, every night he would have 4 hours kirtan here in Puri. And then afterwards, everyone exhausted. Then take prasadam. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's program. Very nice, happy program. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, at the house of Srivash Thakur, every night he would perform kirtan. He didn't sleep. Not like us. We sleep. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, all night, every night, they didn't organize, okay, let's have an all-night kirtan. They didn't organize some special date or place. Every night, non-stop kirtan, all night. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Gaurange Nritto Nitto. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing that is going on eternally. What is that? Jai Jai Leela Kare Adapi Ho Jai Leela Kare Gaurarai Kono Kono Bhagyavane Dekhi Bare Pai. Some, even today, some people who are very fortunate, they can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes going on. So, 500 years ago and now, what Puri looked like would be very different. There wouldn't be all these shops and traffic and solid road. Actually, at one point there was a river going across this road. And Jagannath on his Rath Yatra, he would get down from his Rath and be transferred over the river to another Rath. So there were 6 Rath carts at one time. So the river got filled up. That was, I heard Madhvacharya or Ramanuja said, better you make one continuous. So anyway, Jagannath's Mandir was there. Gundicha, that was the Gundicha Ghar or Mandir, that was there. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living there, Savaboma's house. We can see the same places. So every day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing Sankirtan in this place. And from all over the universe, so many devas, devis, rishis, gandharvas, apsaras, siddhas, charanas, king purushas, they would all come and join. So we want to join the Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is our desire. We are not desireless. We have very strong desire. But we cannot have that desire and cultivate all other desires. Therefore, bhakti, that is called ekanta bhakti or ekanishta bhakti, means only desiring Krishna, nothing else. We don't want anything else. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katamabhyudayo bhavet. Rupa Goswami, he compares the desire for bhukti, material enjoyment, to a pishachi, a witch within the heart. And he also compares the desire for mukti to a witch within the heart. Because as long as these desires are there, the bliss of bhakti will not be experienced, cannot be experienced. Therefore, cheto darpana marjanam, chanting the names of Krishna, cleaning the heart, so that we can find Krishna there. Krishna is in everyone's heart. We don't see Krishna. We have to see Krishna with the eyes of love. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridiyeshu vilokayanti yang shyama sundaram achintya guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those whose eyes are anointed with the salve of prem, Krishna prem, they always see Shyamasundara in his inconceivable, his form, which is composed of inconceivable transcendental qualities. That Govinda, Adi Purush, original person, we worship. So we can't have both. We can't have material enjoyment, which is anyway a myth. There's no such thing. It's just said, that it's spoken about, bhautik sukh, material enjoyment. But there's no such thing. It's just, that is the illusion, to think that there is any such thing. But we can't have both. We can't have material enjoyment and enjoy the bliss of Sankirtan. Of course, we are not enjoyers. We are to be enjoyed. But we are, as Srila Prabhupada describes, secondary enjoyers. It is our nature to want to be happy. We can be happy when we only think of Krishna's happiness. That is natural desire to be happy. When we only think of Krishna's happiness, that is possible. So this initiation ceremony, it is a commitment to what? We could say that in many ways. It's a commitment to do whatever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inviting us to join his Sankirtan party. Here in Puri, in Srivas Thakur's house. In Srivas Thakur's house, actually that's really by invitation only. Only the pure devotees are allowed inside. Here in Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very liberal. Everyone can join. Everyone is invited to join. But if we want to join the internal party to become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, become very dear to the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we have to follow the process that he has given, which is Bishoya Charya Shairoshe Mojiya Mukhe Bolo Hari Hari Parama Korona Pahundu Ijana Nitai Gaura Chandra. These two lords, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, they are the most merciful. There are so many avatars. They're all very merciful. Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma, this Dashavatar, Kshetra, Puridham. All the avatars come here and return here. But Avataresha Gora Avatar, the essence of all avatars is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most merciful. Because Shabha Avatar Sarashiromani Kevala Anandakanda. They're the best of all avatars because the path they have given is simply joyful. Simply joyful. But there is some condition. And that condition is Bishoy Charya Shairoshe Majya Mukhe Balo Hari Hari. One should chant the holy names. One should give up sense gratification and the aspiration for sense gratification. So that is, well, Madhav Maharaj is supposed to speak on the meaning of initiation. I've spoken a little bit about that. It's a great topic. Should be carefully understood. Please understand it. Please follow it. Live by it. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy in the fullest sense of the term. That means Atma Sukh, not Deha Sukh or Indriya Sukh. Atma Sukh. What is that? Bhakti Sukh. Tavat Bhakti Sukhasyatra Katama Bhyudayo Bhavet. That does not mix with anything else. Of course, in the there are stages also, but that bhakti by which Krishna is so pleased that he personally takes care of his disciple, his devotee, that means that ananya cheta satatam, always thinking of Krishna. Yeah. Yomang smarati nitya shaha tasyaham sulabha partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. Krishna, he makes himself available easily to that devotee who is always absorbed in thinking of him. Hare Krishna. I won't speak more now. There's another long program this morning. Oh, Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming here. Festival means there have to be participants. Thank you for coming, chanting, dancing, taking prasadam. And may Srila Prabhupada bless us all. May Lord Jagannath shower his mercy on all of us. Hare Krishna.